Welcome, everyone. Thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks, exclusively on 1-2 Radio, changing the way we think about the world and spirituality. This is February 7th, 2014, and I'm very excited to have author Susan Dugan on the show with me today. Susan teaches, writes, and forgives in Denver, Colorado. She is a co-founder of the School of Reason for A Course in Miracles teachers and students and appears in the documentary A Course in Miracles, the movie. Her short stories, essays, and poems have appeared in a wide variety of literary magazines, and a collection of her short stories, Safe Haven, was a finalist for the 2012 Colorado Book Award. Susan is the author of two books based on A Course in Miracles, Extraordinary Ordinary Forgiveness and Forgiveness Offers Everything I Want. Now, although we will not be opening up the phone lines today, I'd invite you to join us in the 1-2 Radio chat room on Facebook. One of the easiest ways to get there is to go to the 12radio.com website, and on the left side of the page, you'll see a column with the word chat. Click the chat button, and you will be redirected to our chat room on Facebook. Now, when you're there, make sure that you look for that button. It's about in the center of the page, underneath the banner, and it usually defaults to highlights. But you can click it and choose posts by others from the drop-down menu. And please feel free to post your questions or comments, and we will respond as time permits. Now, at the risk of making this introduction way too long, I'd like to read several paragraphs from Susan's website. And by the way, her website is 4asinforgiveness.com. And I will post that in the chat room in a few minutes. This is Susan describing herself. Even though I might have been voted least likely to find God in my high school class, were I the sort of person upon whom people heaped such labels, I eventually became the sort of person to follow exactly that impossible dream. As in the old Martin Mull tune, Jesus is Easy, I tried them all, from psychic healing to Jungian psychology, to Zen Buddhism and other Eastern traditions involving acrobatic feats at odds with my constitution this time around. All offered temporary solace, but only applying A Course in Miracles forgiveness has brought me the comfort I am seeking and begun to transform my experience for the better. This is not the only path to awakening, but I am happy at last to report with complete confidence it is my path. I am a writer, a closet poet, a student, a teacher, a mother, a daughter, a wife, a sister, an aunt, and a friend, an avid reader, walker, hiker, camper, skier, film junkie, foodie, and budget traveler. But most importantly, I am a student of a unique form of forgiveness that has taught me to question all I thought I knew about myself and the world in which things seem to happen to me. And on that note, Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, C.A. It's a pleasure to be here. I sound so full of myself. I just go on and on.
No, you don't. And I mean, that's your website. That's what you're supposed to be saying.
I know. You know, I wrote it a few years ago when I started my blog, and I haven't come back to it in a long time, I guess.
Well, you know, I wondered about
that. But it's all true. I'm busted. It's all true.
Yeah, it is. It is all true. And the one thing that I loved about it and why I wanted to read it is because I thought I could introduce you. But what I really want people to hear come through for you is how funny you are. And truthfully, your books, I mean, both of your books, they make me cry and they make me laugh at the same time, because some of the stories, you know, as you're talking about your path on the course, some of them are, I want to say, heartbreaking. You know, yeah. I mean, they, you know, because I so relate to them. And yet, then I'm laughing the next minute, because maybe I'm laughing at you, but mostly because I see myself, you know, making those same, what I'd call mistakes, you know, making those same judgments. And just the way that you're able to very candidly and in a very vulnerable way open yourself up to what your true feelings are and what your experiences are. I just think that is such a gift, especially on this particular path, which for many people becomes so cerebral. and so in the mind that we forget that we need to apply it to our everyday life. So your two books are just incredibly funny, I believe, and I really encourage people who are on the path to really check those out. So in any case, I wanted to say that.
That's very generous of you. Thank you so much. You know, I think that the reason probably that they are funny and they, you know, you were saying they're heartbreaking and too, but you know, that's what our lives are here. I hope people can relate to these stories because they're genuine stories about, you know, really what our lives are like when we begin to look at them, which is what the Course is asking us to do, honestly, from the perspective of a mind that does have a sense of humor about it.
Right.
And so, you know, it's not a path in, one of the points I was going to make later about, you know, pitfalls to avoid. This is not a path in positive thinking. this is quite the opposite. And, you know, I think that's really off-putting to people because they're so afraid of you know, judging themselves. But this is really, it's not about judging ourselves either. It's really a path about beginning to look at what we're doing in our relationships and the ways in which we are constantly trying to, you know, the Course has a whole metaphysical explanation for this, but we're constantly trying to, you know, blame everything that is upsetting us on something external. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, instead of realizing that we're really, you know, we're really projecting this secret thought of that we are very guilty and not worthy of God's love, that we have separated from that perfect wholeness. We're kind of always projecting that secret guilt onto other people, and everybody's doing it. And it is heartbreaking. It hurts. And until we begin to see that it hurts, we can't smile, you know?
Right.
And so, go ahead. Well, it's really, you know, the reason that I started writing, you know, I'm a writer anyway, so that was just a way that I process my experience anyway. But the reason that I wanted to do this was really, I'm glad that I wanted to share it with other people, but really I wanted to kind of share it with myself in the sense that I wanted to be honest about what the process was and really honest about what I was feeling through the process. Cause that's what the Course is asking us to do on a practical level, is to pay attention right now to, you know, what am I thinking? What am I feeling? What, you know, how unfairly treated I'm feeling by these, really, when we look at them, often very trivial things that are going on, and how upset we can get and how much we want to prove that everybody else is the problem. And that it's, you know, to blame everything external for what's really going on in our own mind, which is this secret sense that we are the guilty ones, and we're constantly trying to get rid of it by pinning it on something outside us. So I think that is the process of the Course, to stop ourselves when we become upset and say, I'm not upset for the reason I think, and I could. There's a part of my mind that knows that everybody here is really guiltless and really innocent, and you know that everything is okay, that we're still all loved, and I can learn to identify with that part of my mind from moment to moment, instead of my ego mind, and I do that by seeing how much this is hurting me, the way I'm doing it is hurting me.
Right. Well, and I just loved what you said. I never quite thought about it that way, but this is not a course in positive thinking.
Absolutely. You know? Quite the opposite. And, you know, and again, that's, you know, a lot of people are not ready for that. It's actually the positive thinking that is masking, you know, it is concealing all this guilt and allowing us to like robotically project it on each other until we begin to see that this is really, really, you know, hurting me, that this is not, that nothing I, you know, that I can never prove that everybody else is guilty enough for me to feel guiltless.
Right.
And, you know, I'm never going to find what I'm looking for, the feeling of being loved and loving that I'm really looking for through this constant projection. Until I reach that point, I don't think that, you know, maybe you're not ready for the course, because you almost have to have, as I talked about in my blog, in the description of my path, you know, I really did exhaust every other possibility before I came to the course. I had to say, you know, this, let me try this, let me try this. I mean, I was the proverbial, you know, seeker. And, but, you know, I don't know how past lives work or any of that, but it always seemed to me, you know, I couldn't really, I would try this path and I couldn't get very far with it because it still didn't get to that secret sense that I was very in touch with even as a child, that, you know, something was very wrong here. And I didn't feel, I felt constantly that I wasn't very loving in my thoughts. You know, I mean, I acted very loving, as we all put on a good act, but I didn't feel all the time loving, and I felt very conflicted, and I felt very unlovable, which I think we all do, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the course is really, you know, I really encourage people to try to, you know, explore everything. And then, you know, when you get to the point, as Bill Thetford did, who was one of the original collaborators of the course with Helen Schuckman at Columbia, when you get to the point where you say there has to be another way, that everything I've tried has failed, mm-hmm. of relating to each other, a kinder way, a way that is not, you know, full of conflict and judgment, then you're ready to at least open to the course. And of course, that's just the opening. then you're ready to begin this process of looking. And
yes.
Then it's a process. Then it's really, it's a very, you know, it's a process. It's not easy.
Right. Well, and in fact, I was reading something recently, and I've been reading so many things, I apologize, I don't know in which book I got it, but somebody was saying, I think it might have been John Mundy, he made the comment, he said, you know, if you join Alcoholics Anonymous, they'll tell you that this is really going to mess up your drinking. And he said, so I'm telling you right now, if you start studying A Course in Miracles, this is really going to mess up your thinking and it's going to mess up your
yes.
life. You know, it's almost like you have to get to the bottom and you have to surrender. And I think that's how it feels to me. And my path was different than yours, but very similar in that I looked and looked and looked, you know, and I felt like I tried everything, but you always knew it was never quite working. There was always something missing. And even though studying the course felt in the beginning like, I mean, that's it. It's not like it felt so good. I felt like I had finally come to truth. And
yes.
that was such a relief. Like, finally, I know what some of the answers are. And it's not that it's telling me all these wonderful positive affirmations, but what it is telling me is how to change my mind. And that was the most important thing. You know, it was like giving you the key. And once you have the key, then all the other things don't matter because you know that you've got the key.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, once you know, it takes us a while intellectually to grasp because we're so resistant to it. The course's metaphysics, you know, that God doesn't know about the world, that this is a dream. I mean, all of those kinds of things that we're very resistant to hearing.
Oh, yes.
So that's one component. But then it is absolutely this tool that we're given that we work with in our lives. And it becomes, I mean, really, if we're going to experience the undoing, which is the benefit of this, the undoing of the ego thought system, the gradual dissolution of the guilt, this guilt that we're not even aware of over something we don't even remember, you know, thinking or believing this idea of separation from our source, then we have to, you know, it's this tool, this key you're talking about, this practice of forgiveness, this new kind of forgiveness of what never was, which is saying, you know, the problem is not out there. The problem is in my mind. I became afraid of love again. We do this in every moment that we become upset. I mean, that's what we're encouraged to do throughout our day. And that's what's going to begin to heal our mind. But as you said, it is going to mess with our, with our perception because we've been, you know, completely overlearned the other way of doing this. We've programmed ourselves to make everything that we're upset about, the cause of everything we're upset about in this imaginary external world. And so we're very, very, addicted. I think the comparison to AA is not a bad one because we're very addicted to this ego, you know, to this robotic projection and to kind of substituting, trying to get from the outside just as all addictions are. I mean, everything that we're using to substitute for God's love is a form of addiction, you know, the Course says. And, and so, you know, we're constantly trying to bargain to get people to like us and to love us and to, you know, stay with us and you know, to use money and to use things and to use food and to use substances to try to fill up the sense of lack that we feel, the Course talks about too, within. And, you know, that's something we're asked to look at as well throughout our day, throughout our moment to moment experience. And it's not pretty, you know, once
right,
we start
exactly.
looking at it.
Exactly. It's not pretty. So, yeah. But, and, you know, one thing I want to introduce here too is that I love the Course because it has so much material and because it's so provocative. And by the way, it's funny too. I cannot tell you how many times I'm reading it and I just burst out laughing because once again, I'm looking at myself and I'm going, yeah, how could I have been taken in, you know, by thinking something like that? It's so silly. It's so upside down. But the other thing that I love, especially about the workbook that Ken Wapnick always reinforces, is this is just a course in training you to learn to consciously connect with your inner guide, to connect with your inner teacher. So it's not even about, you know, I think people can get overwhelmed. They look at that textbook and how could I ever know this stuff or how could I understand it? And you know what? I don't think you have to understand it. In fact, I think that's the problem, is every time we think we can use our minds to figure it out, that somehow we can logic through life, that's the mistake. But when we remember that there is another way to see, when we remember that we can connect with an inner guide who's always going to show us the next step or show us how to think differently, then I don't have to logic it out. Now, and maybe I'm just projecting because I like to logic things out. And that's one thing the Course has taught me, is the cerebral or the cognitive stuff is thrilling. But what's really great is I don't have to figure out how forgiveness works. I just need to practice it.
Right, absolutely. And I love what you were saying about Ken Wapnick's, I think you were talking about the journey through the workbook, his companion to the workbook. But he was so brilliant at teaching us that we're not, that, you know, exactly that, that we're, that this is not a course in us understanding the divine. This is not a course in, we can't. I mean, the Course tells us that. Ken constantly told us that. This is a course in you know, instructing us to remember that we are a decision-making mind, that there's a part of us that has nothing to do with the self we think we are, that's kind of, you know, outside this this dream, that chose to believe it all, but that's, and which is the ego. We chose for the ego part of our mind, but can always choose for this inner God, this new teacher that you're talking about, which is, you know, the Course uses Jesus as a symbol of that. Not the biblical Jesus, but, you know, the symbol of this part of our mind that remembered to smile at the tiny mad idea that we could separate from God, and is constantly available to us as a symbol of kindness toward everyone at all times, as a symbol, as a part of our mind that sees victims and victimizers as absolutely the same in God's love, that doesn't make any distinctions, that sees no guilt, and that we can be, you know, we don't have to understand that. We don't have to understand how any of this works. We just have to do it.
Right.
And the workbook says that right at the very beginning, and you know, which is, it says that many of these ideas, and I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, you're going to find quite challenging and startling, and many you will find completely unbelievable. It doesn't matter. I love that. And it is very funny. He's, you know, the more that you work with this, and the less guilt we have as we begin to, you know, slowly chip away at it, I think the more we can really smile at and get Jesus' sense of humor in this, because...
Well, right. I mean, and there's at least several places in the text where he says, I don't expect you to understand this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I mean, I'm like going, well, then why did you write it? You
right. know? But he talks about our senseless musings, and he talks about us as infants, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He constantly, I mean, I really at some point want to go through the Course in Circle. How many times he uses the, you know, he tells us we're infants.
Yes.
And he tells us that we can't, you know, that we really think our understanding is a significant contribution to to anything.
Right.
You know? And things like that. And so you're just, so yes, it's really, it's, you know, it's really suspending our disbelief and just saying, you know, it requires a new kind of humility of saying, you know what, everything that I've believed, everything that I think, almost every reaction, well, every reaction really that I usually have is wrong. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, that is, of course, the ego goes absolutely nuts when we begin to do that. But so we're going to have this ambivalent thing going on, and it will seem to increase the conflict in your mind, but eventually, you know, it will begin to quiet, and we will find those holy instants more and more of, you know, real peace. By learning to challenge every unkind thought we have, by learning that, you know, there has to be another way of living in this world. My way isn't working.
Well, and that's exactly the key. I mean, what I find myself saying all the time is, well, CA, how's that working for you?
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, because I want to defend it, or I want to tell you how I'm the innocent victim and that shouldn't have happened and I was on the right side or whatever. But it always comes back and I go, well, CA, how's that working for you? You know, because ultimately I'm miserable, or I'm unhappy, or I feel alienated, or, you know, there's a negative emotion. So it's like, okay, you can hang on to this, but how's that working for you? And, you know, and that's really what it comes down to. And even with some of my clients, I love it when I have an astrology client that's also a course student, because I can just really give it to them straight. And I kind of do the same thing as I say, well, how's that working for you? Mm-hmm. You know? You can defend it, or you can keep going along with it.
Right. And I think that's what Jesus, you know, our inner teacher is kind of saying for us, you know, like, how is that working for you?
Mm-hmm.
He's not judging us. I mean, he's very, very patient. He never judges us. But, he's patiently waiting for us to bring our, you know, the way we set it up, as the Course says, back to him. And let's have a look at that. You know, let's have a look at how that's working out. Is it making you happy? And as our teacher, as our inner teacher, his job is really to begin, you know, as students of him, our job is to begin to look with him at how it's not working. And to see that, you know, there's this huge contrast that begins to emerge as you work with this over time, in how we're feeling when we've chosen him as our teacher and how we're feeling when we've chosen the ego, which is always when we're in conflict and it's, you know, we're going back and forth in our mind, constantly trying to figure out why this person said this to me or did this to me, or, you know, where that, you know, why I was just attacked, why I was misunderstood, all the stories that we have. And why my body is, you know, why I'm in pain. All of it is what we're being asked to look at, and we're never going to find peace if we're looking at it with the ego, if we're making it real, as the Course says. But if we do return to that part of our mind that is the, you know, sees truly all the time, and sees that it's just a defense against love.
That's all right. Well, and Susan, it is time for us to go to a break already. And one thing we haven't even touched upon is I want to hear your personal story about how you actually came to the Course. But I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come right back. And that's what we're going to talk about after the break. I'm also going to go into the chat room and see what you're saying. So if you have questions for Susan, please post them there over on the 1-2 Radio chat room page on Facebook. We will be right back. This is CA and you are listening to A Course in Miracles exclusively on 1-2 Radio. Changing the way we think about spirituality.
Please enjoy the following workbook lesson from A Course in Miracles right here on 1-2 Radio.
This is Kelly Whetstone, Lesson 44. God is the light in which I see. In order to see, you must recognize that light is within, not without. God is the light in which I see.
You can hear the entire lesson by going to the archives on the 12radio.com site. For more information about A Course in Miracles, please see the Foundation for A Course in Miracles at www.facim.org.
Here to our signs, God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting.
Hi, this is Mark Husson. In the introduction to A Course in Miracles, it says, "The Course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance." I've always been one to believe that our thoughts tend to mess things up. Just as soon as I think I am something, like a good writer, my words just jumble. I believe the same is true about love. Just as soon as I think I'm doing something loving, the act itself becomes about me, and the driving force becomes about how it all looks. During the season of romantic love, I hope what you find warms you to your soul and paves a path of remembering that you can't find love because you never lost it. Wishing you a life free from the burden of this particular amnesia. Thank you.
This is CA, psychic astrologer with 1-2-Listen and with 1-2-Radio.com. On February 16, 1981, the cover of the New Yorker magazine was a watercolor painting of an older man studying the floor underneath the front door of his apartment. The door looks wide and heavy and includes 5 locks. Apparently, the twisting lock in the handle is not enough. There are 2 types of sliding deadbolts: a chain and an indentation for a pole that physically stops the door from opening should the locks fail. But what the man is staring at is a simple square envelope with a big red heart. Someone has slid the Valentine under the door and into his apartment. Love is bigger than all the seeming obstacles we find to keep it out. Love conquers all. Love is all there is. It's interesting that Valentine's Day falls in the season of Aquarius, not the sign of romantic love, but the sign of brotherly love. Valentine's Day is for each of us and for every lover, sweetheart, and friend. It's also for the crotchety old man who has forgotten the power of love. This season, I am hoping you will be surprised by a secret admirer, and that your heart will be warmed not by the grand gestures of love, but by the simple and everyday acts of kindness. Happy Valentine's Day. Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks, exclusively on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we think about spirituality. And my guest today is author Susan Dugan. Now, Susan is the author of a couple of books. I think I've posted at least one picture in Facebook. One is Extraordinary Ordinary Forgiveness, and the other is Forgiveness Offers Everything I Want. And I've personally read these books, and I'm telling you what, they are so wonderful because they just take A Course in Miracles and make it so personal. Plus, they're darn funny. They're just very funny. I always laugh when I read them, and Susan, I think, just has a particular gift as a writer. So, Susan, thank you for those, and thanks for being here. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And I know you said that you wanted to pay a special tribute to Ken Wapnick. Would you like to do that right now as we get started in the second half?
Yeah, I really would. If you're not familiar with Ken Wapnick, he was the original editor of A Course in Miracles that worked with Bill and Helen from the very beginning, and went on to found the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, a teaching foundation. He's the author of I don't know how many books, and just very, very prolific author and brilliant teacher, dedicated, along with his wife Gloria, their lives to really bringing the course's teaching to anyone who wanted to learn it, to truly learn it, to learn it both in both its metaphysics and its practice of forgiveness. He passed away on December 27th, and after a very quite unexpectedly in after a very short time with lung cancer. And I had the opportunity to interview him multiple times. He was definitely what I consider my teacher and mentor, and the most kind and generous and funny and loving person I have ever had the pleasure of meeting. And so I couldn't recommend. He's left a huge, huge body of work for all of us. I still feel his strong presence, and I think we all do. And I would, anyone who really is interested in learning A Course in Miracles, I did not begin to have a clue about what it meant or how to practice it until I began immersing myself in his work. So maybe you could post, CA, the foundation for A Course in Miracles is, it's FAACIM. I think that's, I'm a visual person, but so it's, but that's the place that you can go and search and find just about anything to do with the course. Wonderful CDs, a huge audio library, huge free downloadable materials. There are still classes going on at the foundation in California, so I highly, highly recommend Ken and his website.
Yep, and I just posted it in the chat room.
Thank you.
And people hear me talk about that a lot, too. In fact, they heard it so many times in The Daily Show, because when we had The Daily Show in 2013, we would read the daily lesson, and that was always followed by, for more information about A Course in Miracles, please go to www.facim.org.
Right,
so
right.
I think there are some people, they probably think that just that line all goes together, you know, for more information.
Right. Well, but, it really is the, it, I mean, it is, I consider it the authority on the course in the purest form of it. And again, I think it's for me, it grounded me, you know, if the course is what you're really trying to learn, it was the most grounding and helpful, teaching that I came across. And honestly, for the first 2 years of my, practice, I don't think I was getting it, until I began to really, really study and, you know, as I said, immerse myself in Ken's teaching. So I think it's enormously valuable. It's my number one tip for people, I think, that are trying to learn this and you know, experience the healing benefits of forgiveness.
Yes, and I would agree. And literally, I've never counted them, but there have to be in the hundreds of recordings, audio recordings that he has on his website.
I think there's 200. Yeah.
Are there?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like on, you can go through the entire workbook with Ken. You can go through the entire textbook for teachers, Ken. And then you can, you know, listen to any number of particular subjects or topics with all of these recordings and all of these workshops and lectures that he did. And I have a lot of them, but not anywhere near 200. I mean, mine's a tip of the iceberg as I've been collecting them and listening. And it's the same thing. It's so, you know, it's like just spending every day with Ken and having him personally tutor you and teach you. And there again, he's so darn funny.
He's, you know? He's really funny, and you know, and his when I was lucky enough to go out a few times to attend workshops and academies and classes in Temecula, and really in person he's even more, you know, he just really is this, I mean, he has such a combination of this amazing, brilliant, scholarly presence combined with just the most playful, unassuming, you know, goofy, just almost sprite-like quality to him. And so, you know, he just, and then also, you know, just this generosity of spirit that I think I was talking about, that I just really, you know, he treated every single person absolutely the same. You could call him up having never met him and he would call you back. People would write to him. He answered all his correspondence. It was quite amazing. And I wasn't even fully aware of all of that until after he had passed. And some people started writing to me about their experiences with Ken, which has been a beautiful sharing. I feel very blessed to hear these stories, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on your website, don't you have a number of recordings or of the interviews that you've done with Ken?
They're not recorded. I did written interviews
with
him.
Written interviews.
Yes, okay. Yes, there's quite a few interviews. There's, you know, and they're intimate interviews in the sense that they're questions from a student, me, about the daily practice and understanding of the course. So I think I think it would be very helpful to people that are, you know, really wanting to make this their path and know what it means to live it.
Mm-hmm. And I would just really encourage people, although I feel a little bit of a hypocrite, because I've told people, and this is me, when I first started it, I did read The Disappearance of the Universe, which is what got me interested. But after that, I was a real purist. I just insisted on reading the course, reading the textbook, reading the workbook, and the manual for teachers without any outside influence. But that had mostly to do with, I think, some of my experiences with other spiritual disciplines. And so I was just insistent that I wasn't going to have somebody else tell me what it said. I needed to have my authentic experience. But once I did, I so encourage other things. Like, I love your two books, and I like John Mundy's stuff, and I love Ken Wapnick's things. You know, once I felt like I at least had a genuine experience, I could go to those things. Now, I also know, though, for some people, and for many people, in fact, if they don't have, you know, another experience with it, like, for instance, reading one of your books or reading Ken's stuff, it's harder for them to get into it. And so I don't think there's one right way to do it. I just know for me, I just needed to see what it had to say before I let somebody else tell me what it was saying. But I think all of these things are so wonderful, because that's it. We're all on the path together. And even though this is not the only path, it's certainly one of the paths, and we are going to the same location. See, that's the thing. We're going to the same place, guys. Right. And so if somebody else can light the path for you, and if you can light the path for somebody else, why not do it? And so I'm with Susan. I just think Ken Wapnick's stuff is incredible.
And I think that that's – I probably did the same thing, CA. You know, I had to go through it myself, the workbook and the text and the manual before I came to Ken. It was kind of going through it myself that made me see that I wasn't practicing, that I was missing something in there.
Right.
And that I needed, you know, I wasn't quite understanding the metaphysics. I had some resistance to it, and but mainly that I was still practicing kind of old school forgiveness, the world's forgiveness, what the course calls forgiveness to destroy, which is this, you know, this idea that I'm going to forgive you for the horrible thing that you did to me because I'm the more spiritually advanced person here. And that's not the course's viewpoint at all. It's really, we're forgiving ourselves for believing that we are different and other than someone else, and that there is, that we have separated from God. We're always forgiving. You know, we seem to be forgiving a specific situation. That's where we start. But really, we're learning that all of that is just a reflection of this belief in guilt over separating from God in the mind. And that's what, and so it's a whole different direction. It's all about the mind instead of the actual, you know, the person that's wrong, making someone wrong.
Right. Well, now I want you to tell us, though, how did you find the course? What was it? I mean, how did it come into your life?
Well, you know, as I had in that introduction from my website that you read, I talked a little bit about that. I was, you know, I was actually raised Catholic, and had an experience, I think, as a child of real kind of mysticism that I can't really quite describe, but I felt a real huge disconnect in what I was hearing in the Catholic Church in terms of its exclusivity, especially about, you know, that only Catholics go to heaven, that, you know, there was all about us and them. Mm-hmm. And that really disturbed me, and I didn't understand it. And we weren't encouraged at that time anyway to ask questions. In fact, we were, you know, chastised for asking questions. So, but the whole idea also of a punishing God, and the idea that we were, you know, that we had to go to church to be able to, you know, that you had to have this intermediary of a priest to contact God, and it just didn't make any sense to me. And it seemed very unkind on some level. And so I ended up leaving the church, as a teenager, and was agnostic during my 20s, and you know, really wanted nothing to do with, at that time, this is really dating me, but a lot of people seemed to be joining cults, and you know, I had a friend who became a Mooney, and there was some scary things coming down from my point of view. And so I thought, I don't think so. I think I'm not going to do that. So, but I later moved to San Francisco in my later 20s, and was there through my early 30s and began to explore. I was very interested in meditation. And so I started taking all kinds of, you know, meditation classes, and some of them were sort of New Age based, and those were very helpful. Again, I was really interested in trying to quiet. I was aware of this busy, you know, I've got a very fast moving mind and temperament, and I really was trying to find some peace with all of that. And so, that was very helpful. And I also explored different, you know, some yoga and Eastern practices, and then, Zen Buddhism was something that I explored, some energy healing. You know, I was always interested in healing in general. And so everything that I did was very, I would say, helpful and interesting. But like I said earlier, I couldn't stick with it very long because it just kind of seemed like, not that, you know, that kind of, I'd kind of lose my steam for these things. And because again, they didn't ever seem to get at that, that sense of being essentially unloved and unloving that I was very aware of. Kind of the human condition.
Yeah, absolutely the human condition.
Yeah, and that was, and I thought, you know, maybe I'll never find it. I mean, I really had done a lot of exploring. And then I came to the course about 10 years ago, and I had encountered it about 8 years before that. Didn't know anything about study groups or, you know, really anything about the course, but had started doing the workbook because I'm an achieving kind of person. I thought, well, I'll just do the workbook. And I skipped all the introductions and stuff because I just wanted to ascend now, you know?
Yes.
And it wasn't working. So I put it aside. And then when I finally found it 8 years later, which was 10 years ago, I guess I was ready for it. And I opened it up and it was like, oh, this is to the text, to the very beginning of the text. And I knew that this was what I was looking for. And then I started, you know, reading it, doing the workbook. I went to a couple of gatherings and classes at the Rocky Mountain Miracle Center here in Denver. And again, I kind of did that for the next year and a half, 2 years, attended some classes, was working with the workbook a lot but still felt like I wasn't getting it. And at that point, I started borrowing videos at that time of Ken Wapnick's commentary on the text and taking them home and just listening to them all the time while I was doing other things, not trying to, again, wrap my head around it too much because, you know, it is somewhat impossible to understand intellectually. And so I just kept listening and without trying to kind of, you know, putting my achievement oriented self aside and just immersing myself in it. And it really began to open up for me. And then I read more and more of Ken's work and, you know, started listening to Ken all the time. And it really began to fall into place in terms of a practice and a way of life.
Mm-hmm. And you said something that I think is important, or at least I think this is where you were going, which I would also really encourage people to do. And that is, if you don't understand something intellectually, don't let that stop you. Just keep reading or just keep doing the practice. Because as you said in the introduction, it says you don't have to believe this stuff. Just practice it. Right. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to believe it. You can even think it's baloney, but just try it. And especially in the text, I think if I had stopped reading every time I didn't quite understand something, I would have never made it through. But I just kind of kept reading and thought, you know what? It's going to reveal itself. I'm going to figure this out. Or, you know, it was just so wonderful that I couldn't stop reading. But don't let that stop you. Don't expect that your mind is going to understand everything. Because, of course, the other thing that happens is we have a vested interest in not believing this stuff.
Oh, you know? Yeah. We
don't want to believe this stuff.
We're actively, you know, there's a part of us we're not aware of that is working 24/7 to stop us from believing this stuff. So, and we'll do everything it can to make us want to put down this course. So, you know, and really scare us. And the course tells us this. We're going to have some scary experiences. We're going to think that we're losing it at times. You know, we're going to, all of that. We're going to space out when we read. So it's just do it anyway, I think is what you're saying. And I think that that's exactly, you know, it kind of takes some courage to do this, and some blind faith. You know, you don't know. You're jumping into this. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what you really kind of have to do. Again, it's you have to have come to a point where you just say, you know what, I don't, nothing else has worked. And if this feels to you like you, on some level that you sense that this is the answer, then give it what you've got. But it's not a striving in the sense that we think of it normally. It's an opening to it and a willingness to do what it says, you know?
Yeah, in fact, the Course talks about the little willingness.
Right.
And I think that's important, too. Just have a little willingness. Just be open to very possibly changing your mind.
Right.
And like you say, though, you can have some sort of rough experiences because you think you're crazy or somebody else thinks you're crazy. But then you kind of look at life and you go, what's crazier than believing that you live in a world created by a God who just very, you know, arbitrarily punishes people with tsunamis or sends you lessons to make you strong? You know, when you really, really think about that, who of us knows parents that just routinely punish their children and give them all these tests to make them grow up strong? You know, that's not the way a loving parent is. And yet we have so many religions and spiritual belief systems that would have us believe that there is a God who created this world almost for his own amusement.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to
me, that's what we've kind of all have bought into. And
that's what's crazy.
Yeah,
it is. That is what's crazy. And the only reason it doesn't seem crazy to us is because we've believed it for so long.
And because, and because there's a part of us, again, that's, you know, this is also unconscious, and we're so secretly terrified that we actually did this horrible, you know, we believe, we've projected this out as the thought that we separated from God and basically, you know, threw God's love away, threw God under the bus. And so, you know, we've made up a God that's punishing us for that. But I think that I try to think of it with myself in my own practice when I see how resistant I am to this. And even in looking at people around us who, you know, are trying to do good things within a religious framework that's set up to preserve the idea of violence, really, that it's coming, you know, that we're all the same in that secret fear. And this is coming from a very, very, you know, a frightened child place in all of us. And so to kind of see that we're all fighting this hard battle, Ken talked about that all the time. I guess what I'm saying is to really kind of be gentle with myself through my practice, but to be gentle when I see what's going on around us in the greater world and with people who it may even attack us over doing the course, you know, that it's coming from this place of the same scared child that I have within and I'm very familiar with now, because of this practice, you know. I know where all of that's coming from. So frightened people deserve to be treated kindly regardless. Again, victims and victimizers need to be treated with the same, you know, we may still do the normal things in form, and that often is the kindest thing, is to you know, stop somebody from hurting someone or themselves, obviously, you know, to be kind, to be normal, because we all still think we're bodies, but on the level of the mind, not to exclude them, because, you know, the Course says, however much we wish they be condemned, God is in them. And God, I can't know that I am in God unless I also, you know, see that they are too. It's the Course's way. And that's really the beautiful thing about the Course is we go home together or not at all. So we have to heal our minds about all of our feelings about what's going on in the world. You know, it's only mind in need of healing. Yeah.
That's right. And Susan, we have 3 minutes left in the show, if you can believe that. So one thing I want to give you the opportunity in a minute or so to tell people, where can they find your books? Where can they buy them? Okay. And also, if you have any other announcement of something that you're doing or a class that you're teaching, if there's anything you want them to be aware of, go ahead and say your announcements. You've got 60 seconds.
Oh, boy. Well, I don't have that many announcements, but I teach on Tuesday nights regularly at the Rocky Mountain Miracle Center, and you can go to their website also to see a description of classes They have a number of different classes there that you might want to check out. My books are available. Forgiveness Offers Everything I Want is my more recent book of essays about this practice. Again, it's really practical. It's really the daily living of this in my relationships. I talk about my dog, my daughter, my husband, you know, how the things that come up in our ordinary lives, as students of this, as people just, again, trying to make our way in the world and begin to look at it at a different way. So that book and my first book, Extraordinary Ordinary Forgiveness, are both available on Amazon. And also, if you are someone who comes to the Rocky Mountain Miracle Center, there are some books available there. They get a little bit of a profit there if you want to buy it there to support their work. And it's wonderful that we have a facility that we can teach at here in Denver. And I guess that's really all. I speak now and then on, A Course in Miracles gathers, so there are some videos on my website. My website has a lot of information on the course. It has questions and answers. If people want to write in questions and answers, they can do it there. They can subscribe to my blogs. I post every week a new essay about this practice, and Ken's interviews are there. There's just really a lot of information there. So,
okay. Well, Susan, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I mean it. You need to come back because there's so many more things that we can talk about. So thank you for being here today. And I also want to shout out and say thank you to all of you listeners who are making A Course in Miracles and 1-2 Radio part of your day. And thanks for those of you who entered the chat room and with your comments. I appreciate that. And thanks to our producer, Scott Weaver. And also a special thanks to my mentor and friend, Mark Husson, who makes 1-2 Radio possible and who certainly inspired this particular show. I'd also encourage you to check out Wake Up to Love with Aria Hahn and Earl Purdy on Monday mornings on 1-2 Radio. Aria is a longtime student of the course, and her co-host Earl Purdy is an internationally known course teacher. So stay tuned. There are more great shows here on 1-2 Radio 24/7, and you can please, just go ahead and check out the schedule on 1-2radio.com for the details and all of the times. And know also that you can listen to this show as an encore. You can download it from the 12radio.com archives, and you can also listen to those recorded versions of the 365 daily lessons on 12 Radio through the archives. And you can also read the text of the lesson for the day if you go to 12listen.com. So thank you so much for being here and for making A Course part of your life. This is CA signing out, and you have been listening to A Course in Miracles on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about spirituality.